Galatians chapter 3. Amen. While in prayer, amen, God changed my message up. And so I'm going to talk with you about Galatians. And brothers and sisters been kind of getting in touch with me, amen, in the church and on the YouTube page as well. And they have questions about, amen, the law. Amen. And this began to kind of snowball a little bit when Brian Noel taught. Amen. Brothers and sisters want to know, amen, what's the church doctrine for the law? And as pastor of Philadelphia, it's my job to set the doctrine of the church. Amen. Amen. And when Brian came up, it brought up some things. Amen. So I'm going to use that opportunity to set our doctrine. Amen. So you could know what we believe. Amen. I don't want you to think that we go in a direction that we're not going. Amen. As pastor, amen, and under shepherd and manager, amen, I'm going to share the vision with you. Amen. So nothing won't be a curveball. Amen. So you won't think that we going to end up in left field somewhere. So if it's all right with you tonight, I'm going to do some doctrine setting tonight. Amen. Y'all all right with that? Amen. Amen. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to share with you what I believe the Bible teaches us about the law and about our relationship with the law. It's okay to have other people come up. It's okay to listen on YouTube and stuff like that. But I'm about to share with you, you know what I'm saying, as shepherd, amen, what the Lord has put in me for Philadelphia in our relationship with the law. Amen? Amen? So you feel that? All right, and listen, now as I'm teaching, I don't want to take away from what Brian taught us about proper eating, about our health, amen, because you're going to see that this is going to work hand in hand, all right? All right? What it's all about is the why you do something. What we're going to find is that a lot of our Hebrew brothers and sisters going to be in a line with us in doing certain things, but the why is going to be different. All right? All right? Now, some of the Hebrew brothers and sisters may not agree with my approach to it, you know, on YouTube and whatever. And if you don't agree with that, that's great, you know, because we agree on the foundation. The foundation is Yahshua HaMashiach. You understand what I'm saying? The foundation is the Christ, the Messiah, the one I call Jesus. When I called that name, he saved me. His Hebrew name is Yahshua, but we talking about the same person who died on the cross and rose the third day, amen? And I know there's power in the name that I call. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? So the foundation is the same. Now, the foundation is the same. We all Hebrews, all right? Just with those two tenets alone, there should be nothing that divide us. You might wear a garment that I don't wear. You might believe the scriptures say something that I don't believe. But what we believe is the foundation. And the foundation is Christ, Messiah. And no other foundation can any man lay. And if we build on that foundation, there can be no ism, no schism between us. You see, because as the movement perpetuates, the Ashkenazis will try to divide the Hebrews, amen, based upon little nuances in the word and in the law. I don't care about that. And I ain't going to be talking about my brother, no Hebrew, no nothing like that. Even my fellow Christians, amen. Not to divide like that, amen, behind some Luciferian synagogue of Satan, Ashkenazi. You understand what I'm saying? So while I will set the doctrine of this house, I'm not judging no other house, and I'm not judging no other Hebrew. I'm just talking about how we do it in here. You understand what I'm saying? Not in here, in here. All right? All right? Okay, all right. All right. Hey! Reason why it's no big deal, if we agree on the foundation Christ, then we all get to heaven. And when we all get to heaven, what we had wrong my master gonna straighten it out. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? What we got going on, Tree, is a whole bunch of different servants judging each other. How in the world one servant gonna tell me how to please my master? The Bible say, to his own master a man stand off on. Chill out and do your work. You understand what I'm saying? And our master gonna settle it when we get there. My interpretation on the law comes from Galatians chapter 3. 3 and 24, which will be our focus scripture. It says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Remember, whenever you see the word in the King James, wherefore or therefore, you have to find out what it is there for, all right? And you do that by going to the above verse or to the preceding verses. We're going to do that tonight. But I'm just not going to go up one or two verses. I'm going to rewind it all the way back. And we're going to go to verse 1 of chapter 1. Meaning tonight, I'm going to do the whole book of Galatians. Amen? We're going to do the whole book of Galatians. Now let me clarify that. Y'all know I can't get through the whole book. All right? So I'm going to do to chapter 3. I'm going to do 1, 2, and 3 tonight. So help us, God. And then we're going to do 4, 5, and 6 on next Tuesday. But it's of immense importance that you pay attention to what's going on. You see? Your very salvation depends upon your interpretation of how to receive the law. You see? Let's begin with some background in the book of Galatians. If you're in the book, just go to chapter 1. Galatia was a Roman province, a state. It was located in modern Turkey, and I have a map up there for you to kind of show you, amen, a little bit about what Galatia looked like. Galatia, amen, was, amen, a province, a state that had numerous cities in it. It's not a city. And a lot of the times, Paul would write a book, he would write it to a city, amen. The church at Corinth, amen. He'd write it to a city. This is one of the books where he didn't write to a city, he wrote to a region. Anybody hearing me up in here? It's going to be important, so just pay attention. Paul planted churches in Galatia, in the different cities that's in Galatia. He planted churches in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbs, or Derbes, however you want to pronounce that. He planted churches over there as he was moving around, and you can check the book of Acts to verify what I'm telling you. Amen. Well, after he planted the churches, you know that Paul, being a missionary, he would plant and he would move on. Well, the apostle received word that the churches that he founded, that he planted, was under spiritual attack. They were under attack by what Paul, amen, in the New Testament would call, they would call them Judaizers. Somebody say Judaizers. The Judaizers were Hebrews, but they were false teachers who were telling people that they had to go back to the law to become Christian and to become saved. And so that's why they call them Judaizers. They was trying to bring people back to Judaism before they can adopt Christianity. What was happening was that they were undermining the gospel. Particularly, they were undermining the gospel in the specific area of what we call justification by faith. Somebody say justification by faith. Justification by faith is the part of the gospel, amen, that teaches us, amen, that we are justified, declared not guilty, forensically, legally not guilty. Not that we're not guilty indeed. No, we're all guilty. But because of a loophole that God created through the sacrificial system and the blood of Jesus Christ, when we accept him by faith, we are justified, forensically not guilty, legally not guilty, though guilty indeed, but declared not guilty through our faith in Jesus. Anybody hear me up in here? Amen? All right? All right? So that's what the gospel, amen, is all about. And that's what the Judaizers were attacking. They were saying it's not enough for you to believe. It's not enough for you to just come to Christ. You got to become a Hebrew first. You got to become a Jew first and adopt all the laws and live by the laws and then become a Christian and then you can be saved. And Paul heard that. And Paul said, listen, this is undermining the gospels. Paul wrote this letter to Galatia, to the Galatians, to defend the gospel, y'all. To defend what we would call justification by faith. Now, some people will look at this book and say, listen, Pastor, I understand that, but the book of Galatians is written to the Gentiles, and the devil is a liar. Anybody hear me up in here? Some of the Hebrews will say, this book don't have nothing to do with us. And let me tell you, one of the biggest things that the devil can play a trick on you is for you to think that certain portions of this Bible don't pertain to you. Anybody hear me up in here? Let's lay out some arguments against that. Number one, all scripture is important for us. Everyone. 2 Timothy 3:16 says all scripture. How many? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly, thoroughly furnished unto all and every good work. Listen, you can't push out some of the Bible. Paul said, amen, to the church at Ephesus. He says, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. And that's what every believer needs. We don't need half a Bible. We don't need three quarters of a Bible. We need a whole Bible to be a healthy Christian. Come on, give God some glory. So don't come here and say this don't apply to the Hebrews because somehow this book is written to this Gentiles. That's the first argument. Second argument is this. Galatia was a region, not a people. Galatia was a region and not a people. That's like if I wrote a letter to the Louisianians. That's how you say that? Huh? Louisianians, huh? All right? When I say Louisianians, am I describing a certain race? Am I describing a certain people? No, because within Louisiana is a collage of different people. So it was in Galatia. There were not only Gentiles in Galatia, there were Hebrews in Galatia too. And there were all kind of people, because remember when Rome conquered nations, they would move people. And so you had the Gauls there in Galatia. You had the Hebrews there, amen. There was all kind of people in Galatia. Now let me prove it to you. In the book of Acts, amen, in chapter 14, verse 1, in one of the cities of Galatia, Iconium. And it came to pass in Iconium that they were both together into the, that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews. So there were Jews in Iconium because there were synagogues in Iconium. There were Hebrews in Iconium. And so spake that a great multitude, both of Hebrews and also Greeks, they did what? They believed. So in Iconium, which is in Galatia, you got believers. Believers that are Hebrews and believers that are Greeks. And so when Paul write to the Galatians, do you think he's just talking about Gentiles? Uh-uh. He's talking about all that's in Galatia, which would include the Hebrews. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Third argument is that in this letter, Paul includes himself with the Hebrew people in his admonitions towards Galatia. What you mean? Well, when he would tell the Galatians something, he would include himself. Our text that we're focusing on, our focus scripture, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. You think he's just talking to the Gentiles? Uh-huh. The law was our. Paul is a Hebrew. Paul is including himself. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ that we might be justified. The book is written for Jews, Hebrews, and Gentiles alike. Don't say that you don't listen to this book. because it would only apply to Gentiles. Point number four, all are one in Christ. We listen to this book because all are one in Christ. And this is especially true as it relates to salvation, which we call soteriology, and as it relates, amen, hallelujah, to the law and to the gospel. All are one in Christ. And Paul mentions this in Galatians 3:28. He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. So what Paul is saying, that what applies to us specifically in regards to salvation, specifically in regards to the law, what applies to one applies to all. Do you hear me up in here? I know I'm going fast and I'm laying down a lot of stuff. Get the CD, you can go back over it. All right? But I'm trying to set the doctrine for our church. This is not a letter just to Gentiles. And remember, in regards to salvation and in regards to the law, remember now, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:14 that he is our peace, meaning Jesus, who came and he broke down the middle wall of partition, amen, and making out of two, one. And as we understand the scriptures, for the Gentiles that believe, amen, they don't start another plant. They are engrafted into the tree of Israel. So when God was looking out, he wanted to make one people, right? This is especially important for salvation in regards to our understanding of the law. Now, with eschatology, it's going to be a different thing because the people, the Hebrews, amen, got certain things that's particular to them in the last days that's going to come to pass. Meaning that they would fall away from God. But in the end, they would fall away from God. That's their part of the story. So that the Gentiles could come in. But in the end, they would be restored to the Most High. Had God forsaken his people Israel, God forbid. You understand what I'm saying? So just follow me. I know it's deep theology, but I got to get deep, all right? Because I want to set the doctrine. This book of Galatians is for all of us here. Hebrews and Gentiles alike. What applies to one according to the law, according to salvation and soteriology, applies to all. Now let me look at chapter 1 with you for a second. Amen. And let's look at verse 1. In verse 1 of chapter 1, Paul begins, amen, with an introduction. He tells us, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Paul, writing this book, is saying that a man did not make Paul an apostle, but God did it. And if you want to know which God made me an apostle, Paul says, it's the same God that raised Jesus Christ from the grave. Amen. Paul is, he's laying it down. He's laying it down. Because a lot of people question Paul's authority because they question his apostleship. And Paul is saying, I never received this from no man. I got this from the Most High. You understand what I'm saying? In verse 2, he tells us who his letter is written to. Amen. In every good letter, you got to put dear such and such. You understand what I'm saying? And so Paul says in verse 2, and all the brethren which are with me, we writing unto the churches of Galatia. Paul is writing to the Galatians, and we've already seen that. Verse 6 tells us the purpose of this letter. Verse 6, Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Paul says, I'm shocked. I'm perplexed. I'm flabbergasted. That you would be so soon, look what he says, removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Paul is saying, the gospel that we brought to you about salvation, how to be saved, You've removed yourself from that and began believing that something else can save you. Paul saying, I'm shocked by that. How in the world are we going to spend so much time teaching you about the gospel, Paul saying, and you're going to begin to believe something else? Paul says, you're going to begin to believe another gospel? Huh? And look at the next verse, because I love this. Paul wants to get it straight. He says in the next verse, which is not another, because let me tell you, there's one gospel. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's not another gospel, no. There's not a plan A and a plan B and a plan C, no. There's only one way to heaven. That's what Peter said in Acts. There's none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. So Paul says, listen, you removed yourself to another gospel. You're believing in another way to get to heaven, Paul says. But Paul says, there is no other way. There is no other gospel. You see? But there be some that trouble you, Paul says, and that would pervert the gospel of Christ. Here he's talking about the Judaizers. And he's saying they come in and talk to the people of God in their ear, and they don't do them good, but they trouble them. Yeah. They trouble the people of God. Because you already where you're supposed to be. You already in Christ. You already in Christos. You right where you're supposed to be, but there's some that's going to come and trouble you. Hey, and as they trouble you, look what he says, they trouble you and would pervert the gospel. When you pervert something, that means you take it and manipulate it into a fashion that it was not designed to be. Woo! All right? Now, we got to be careful, saints, if y'all can listen to me deeply while I talk about theology. It's easy to pervert the gospel. I'm going to tell you why. Because the gospel is so simple. That's why in another place, Paul said, listen, I hope, hallelujah, you don't be offended by the simplicity of the gospel. Because when sometimes we receive the gospel, but we say, it's got to be more than that. I just believe. Yeah. So what we do to pervert the gospel, we add a little something to it. You believe and you take this. You do that. You believe and you be a part of this church. You believe and you sign this membership. You believe and you don't put no perm in your hair. You believe and you eat this and don't eat that. You have perverted the gospel. Anybody with me so far? All right? We're not talking about your quality of life and being healthy. We're talking about the law and the gospel. Amen. And Paul said, if you're not careful, you can pervert it. You can pervert it. All right. It's not just adding to the gospel that perverts it. But guess what? It's taking something away from it too. Not only additions, hallelujah, but when you diminish, when you subtract away from the gospel. Meaning that Jesus didn't die on the cross. You've taken away the power of the gospel. He wasn't born of a virgin. You've perverted the gospel. He didn't live 100% righteous life. He had a little boo on the side. They took a trip by train, by path. You perverted the gospel. You don't add nothing to it, and you don't take nothing away from it. That's how you keep it pure. All right? All right? And that's what Paul is doing. He's saying, listen, these Judaizers, they're adding to the gospel by saying it's Jesus plus. Anytime you hear Jesus plus, whoo, pack up your Bible, your book sack, your bag, and get out. Get up and leave. Because it's Jesus plus nothing. You with me so far? When he was on that cross, what's that Greek word he said? And what does that mean? It is finished. Taleo, what was finished? Everything we need to get to heaven was finished when he died on Calvary's Hill. We don't add nothing to it. We don't take away from it. Amen. Taleo. And so Paul in verse 80 says, but though we, Paul says, or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Paul is saying, I'm not trying to please no man up in here. Paul said, I'm not trying to satisfy no none of them balls in Jerusalem, James, none of them. If they add anything to it, let them be accursed. That's what Paul's saying. In verse 11, Paul continues. He says that he didn't receive the gospel from men. He says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. How? But by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul said, Jesus brought this thing to me himself, personally. You know what I'm saying? That's why sometimes Paul will take possession of the gospel. He'd call it my gospel. You understand what I'm saying? I love that. And you need to be possessive about the gospel. You can't just let nobody just come in and add something to your gospel. That's your gospel. That's what saves you. And you understand what Paul is saying. It's his gospel, but it's mine. I've taken possession of it. I don't know where I stop and it start. You understand what I'm saying? It's part of me. And if you had to cut me open, you couldn't get it out of me. It's my gospel, Paul says it. Woo! Paul then goes through his testimony in chapter 1. He talks about how he used to persecute the church. Now remember, Paul was doing all of this while he was under the law and fulfilling the law. And he even said in Philippians, he said, man, listen, righteousness of the law, blameless. Paul said, I was a Pharisee. You understand what I'm saying? Paul said, I'm a Hebrew, utter Hebrew. I had that real bad hat, Paul said. Listen. Just want to see if y'all look. But Paul, while he was under the law did him no good. He was under the law in disobedience. He was under the law in sin. He was under the law killing the very people that the Most High Yahweh had sent. Woo! You got to hear me now. What I'm telling you is that the law did not change Paul. It couldn't change. Just like if you think about your life, the law didn't change you. Oh! How many times we look over them Ten Commandments, huh? Them thing ain't change us. But Paul didn't change, just like you didn't change, until you met the one who wrote the law, the lawgiver. Till you met the one, Shiloh. Till you met him. Hey! That's when it changed. The law ain't did you no good. It never changed. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself here. They preaching, Judaism was trying to give them the law, but the law ain't did nobody no good. Paul says in 15, but when it pleased God, the sovereignty of God. Yeah, because you could run all you want, but whenever God ready for you, but when it pleased God, when God was ready, you see, you in here not because you was ready, you here because God was ready. When it pleased God, Paul says, who separated me from my mother's womb. What did he do? He called me not by his law, he called me by his grace. Hey! Come here, you don't deserve it. Come here. Call me by his grace. And when he called me, what did he do? He revealed his son in me. And that's what changed me, Paul said. It wasn't the law. It wasn't my Pharisee. It wasn't being at the feet of Gamaliel. None of that changed. But when God called me and I saw his grace and I saw his son, that's when everything changed. And what happened, Paul? I began to preach him among the heathen immediately. And I conferred not with flesh and blood. I didn't have to talk to nobody. As soon as I was saved on the way to Damascus. And guess where I started preaching? Damascus. Because I met the lawgiver. Chapter 2. Y'all still up? And set the doctrine. In chapter 2, Paul introduces the Judaizers more specifically. And by the time we get to verse 4, look what he says. And that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Stop right there. Stop right there. Paul says that the Judaizers, who was trying to take our attention off of Christ, put our attention on the law, believe in the law first, accept all the laws first, then become a Christian, and that's the only way you can be saved. Paul said, number one, they false brethren. What you mean by that? Paul's saying they don't really have it. Paul's saying they not really born again. And a lot of times you can tell the ones that come with false doctrine because they talk a good talk, but it's a bunch of cursing, it's a bunch of fornication, it's a bunch of adultery. They are not born again. They still in the bondage of sin. They're not free. And you come and they talk to you, they cursing, they cutting up, they got women all over on the side. This, no. Paul say, that's false, brother. How you know, Paul? For we shall know them by their fruit. Oh, God have mercy. Oh, God have mercy. He gonna come tell me to obey the law, but he a prisoner himself. Come tell me to obey something he not even obeying. But the gospel is so sweet that God is going to get us to obey him. But from the inside out. We born again. He said they're not born again. They are false brethren. Then he says, unawares brought in. They came in, he says, privily. This means they snuck in. They came in by the back door. Under the radar. It means that they were smuggled in by the devil. They crossed the border. They came from Texas. They were smuggled in. And they came in unawares, privily. They smuggled themselves into the church. And pretend like they got your best interests in mind and got you loving God in mind and Christ in mind. But they really undercover brothers. They not all in. They're not born again. They act like it, but they're not. And they come and try to take your attention off the pearl of great price, of the lily of the valley, of the rose of Sharon. They false brethren. So we got to watch it, y'all. Don't let go of the gospel. Let me set the doctrine. Now remember, all right, I'm not discounting what my brother said. I'm going to get to it here in a second. All right? I'm not saying the law is altogether bad. And I'm not saying there's no wisdom in the law. But don't ever confuse the law with the gospel. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. Let's get deeper into it. Let's get deeper. He says that they are false brethren, unawares, came in privily. Why did they come? To spy out our liberty. Isn't that some espionage type language? They come in, they come to spy out our liberty, our freedom in Christ. And when they spy out our liberty, they say, yeah, they're free. Because I'm going to show you that you're free from some things. They're free. Free to worship, free to live, free to love, free to give, free to, just free. In every stretch of the imagination, free. They come to spy out our liberty. And when they see liberty, look what the Bible says, that once they see liberty, that they might bring us into bondage. Everyone that they see the liberty, the freedom of Christ upon, their DNA, their program is to bring those people back into bondage. Now remember, Christ came to set us. He who the Son has set free is free in. Oh, God have mercy. I'm trying to listen. Listen. Then he talks in chapter 2 about withstanding Peter to his face. In verse 11, look at it. He says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. Stop right there. He had to confront Peter. Why? He says, because Peter was to be blamed. Peter was wrong about something. Peter had did something wrong. Well, what did Peter do wrong? I'm glad you asked. Verse 12. For before that certain came from James, there were certain Hebrews that came from James, the brother of our Lord. And they were different type of Christians in Jerusalem. They had loved that law. And so certain Judaizers came from James, and when Peter saw that, all right, when before they came, well, look what Peter was did. He did eat with the Gentiles. Now, Noel showed us that when the church first got started, Peter said, I ain't never ate nothing that was unclean. Come on. By the time we get to Galatians and Antioch, he's sitting on there and they're eating too fed, they're eating cornbread, dressing, they're eating all kind of stuff. And Peter, like, I'm free in Christ. So Peter eating all kind of stuff. He eating with the Gentiles. I'm sure I'll tell you. Listen, look what the Bible say. Before they came, he was eating with the Gentiles. Now, don't go get you no fried chicken tonight and no pork chop. Don't do that. I'm about to show you something here. I'm about to show you something. All right? Don't do that. Don't do that. I'm about to show you something. All right? But the Bible says, but when those Judaizers came, when Peter saw the Hebrews from Jerusalem come, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself. He didn't want to eat with them no more. Fearing them which were of the circumcision. That's the Hebrews from Jerusalem. And the other Hebrews disassembled likewise with him. They all separate themselves from the Gentiles. Insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Verse 14, but Paul knew how to front on a brother. Paul says, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly, according to what? According to the truth of the gospel. I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Hebrew, live as after the manner of the Gentiles. Now, follow this. Paul is saying, Peter, you understand the gospel now. And you being a Jew, a Hebrew, you live according to the manner of the Gentiles. This means that you have dropped the law. You're a Hebrew, but you're living like the Gentiles. If you're a Hebrew living like the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live like the Jews? Is that making sense to you? Paul, you're a Hebrew. Y'all had the law. Peter, you're a Hebrew. Y'all was raised with the law. But in Christ, you're free from the law. You know that. So now you're not living like the Hebrews no more. You're living like the Gentiles because you're free to do that. But why, if you're able to live like the Gentiles as a Jew, why are you making the Gentiles live like the Jews? You a Jew and you're not living like the Jew. Why in the world? Paul said that's hypocrisy. Look, put it up in the NLT. Put it up in the NLT. Let me show you that. Go look at the quotation. Since you a Jew by birth have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish traditions? You're not even following them. Booyah. In verse 16, because Peter understood the freedom of Christ. At this point, he understood the freedom in Christ. Verse 16, Paul still telling them off. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. We not saved or made righteous in God's eyes by the law. But how? But by the faith of Jesus Christ. And look at Paul including himself in this. This is not just for Gentiles. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. The law can't save you. And the law don't make you look any better in the sight of God. I'm going to show you here in a second. Man is not justified forensically by the law, but by faith. If we are under the law, we are still guilty. And I'm going to tell you why. Because no one can fulfill the law. You feel me? Because you might do good on the law in eating, but you wear mixed clothes. You got polyester and rayon on and stuff like that. When your wife go on her menstrual, she's still living at home, which the law says you got to put her out of the city. Ain't nobody fulfilling the law. So why you going to come here and act like, you know what I'm saying? Let's do the law. Let's do what? We can't do the law. We can't do the law. The law had concluded all under sin. The law makes us guilty before a holy God. We can't do the law. We can't do it. I don't care what you do. I'll be the first one with a checklist on. You look, ah. You can't do it. You can't do it. Not to be saved. Now you can pick some things out of it that will enhance your quality of life. Pull some stuff out of it that's going to bless you with the wisdom of God. You can look at what God says in his law about pork, amen, about shrimp, about the scavengers that eat the worst things on our planet. And you can go on YouTube and type in, why should I not eat pork? And you're going to find the most disgusting things about pork. And you're going to find the most disgusting things about shrimp. And you're going to find the most disgusting things about that hot dog you had for lunch. And you will see the wisdom of God in his law, why you shouldn't eat those things. But you refrain from eating it, not for you to be saved. Because I look at God's wisdom and I say, you're right. And I got the freedom to decide, God, you know what? You're right about that and I'm not going to do that. Because the dude that don't eat the hot dogs and I eat the hot dogs, that don't make him better than me, no. He not eating hot dogs, but he got three women on the side. What in the world? Every other word out of his mouth is a cuss word. What in the world? Don't get it twisted, dog. By their fruit you shall know them. What come out of them? Not what's in their pantry, not that type of fruit. Not Del Monte fruit, not that type of fruit. Listen to me. Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. By the deeds of the law, nobody working the law can be justified in God's sight because they can't fulfill it. There was only one that can fulfill it, Yahshua Jesus Christ. That was the only one that could. Amen. And that was his purpose to come, to fulfill the law. Why? To fulfill it for us. It was a positive obedience. He fulfilled it for me. He had to have something to give to me. He had to have a righteousness to impute upon me. So he fulfilled it perfectly for me. Can't be saved by the law. He says, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Hold on to that part right there. Because this is going to tell you why God made the commandments in the very beginning. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Hold on to that. I'm so tempted to get into it. But you just hold on to it. He's telling you the purpose of the law. The law was never meant to save. It was to teach you something. Hey! When we find ourselves going back to the law, we are going actually in reverse and not the right way in the program that God is moving us to. All right? Paul says in 19, let's keep moving. He says, For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I love this, y'all. Now remember, Paul is a Hebrew. And this book is written to Hebrews and Gentiles. And he's teaching us something about the Gentiles and the Hebrews' relationship to the law. Once we in Christ, don't matter if you're Hebrew or Gentile, in Christ, you have a certain relationship to the law. And look what he says, your relationship is to the law, Christian. Whether you're Hebrew or Gentile, your relationship to the law is you're dead to the law. You are dead to the law. You're dead to it. All right? In Romans 7, Parker, he explains it. In verse 1, he says, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. He pointing the ones out. Oh, you think you know your Bible? You think you know the law? He said, I'm talking to you who think you know the law. Know you not, brethren, how that the law had dominion over a man as long as he lived. Listen, the law can only hold you as long as you're alive. Oh, you ain't caught that. You ain't caught that. The law is only for the living. Because you can't tell a dead man thou shalt not kill. The law has dominion, has a hold, has a right upon a man as long as he is alive. Paul break it down. Verse 2. For the woman which had an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. Let me tell you something, Christian woman. You married to that man, but that marriage is only valid until that man die. That's why we say, till death do us part. Because death separates that law, that civil union. Right? Anybody hear me up in here? Don't you slip nothing in that man's drink or in his food or nothing like that. I've been waiting. I got my way out right now. I don't want to be married no more. Till death do us part, huh? Just want to make sure y'all up. But the law of marriage is only good while the spouses are alive. Verse 3. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, what's going to happen? She shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. That hurt me to say that, of course. Because I love my little woman. But if something were to happen to me, I bet don't take that to heart. No. She is free according to the law. Not my law. Not my law. I'm telling you. I'm waiting for you in heaven, girl. I'm joking. So, a woman husband died. She free to marry. And she don't break no law. Because the law only held while her husband was alive. The law only has dominion to live in things. Verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. When he died on that cross, you died with him. I'm not alive no more, no. When I walk by, you could say dead man walking because, hey, the old me died with Christ. Hey, come on now. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Hey. Yeah. Paul said, I'm dead to the law. And just like, hallelujah, death dissolves the marriage law, death dissolves my marriage to the law as well. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. When we died in Christ, our union with the law was broken. And we were free to turn our attention upon another, the darling of heaven. Hey, God, we were free to yoke ourselves to him, to hold on to him. We're not yoked to the law no more. And let me tell you, it's going to either be Christ or the law. Yeah. You can't have them both. No, 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 no. Ooh, I'm going to show you next Tuesday. I'm going to show you next Tuesday. We could use the law for wisdom, but you know we don't really even live by the law. We live by another law. I'm going to share that with you next time. I'm going to share that with you next time. You see, the Mosaic law is a low law. We live by a higher law. All right? Now, I don't mean that you can't look at the low law and glean some things that you should be doing, should not be doing, how to take care of your temple. You can glean some things, but don't you dare leave the higher law, the law of Christ, the law. I'm giving you too much. I'm giving you too much. We're going to talk about that next time. Listen, listen, listen. He said, I'm dead. I'm dead to the law. And the law rules a man as long as he alive. He come there in Galatians 2:20 and he wrap it up for us. He say, listen, after he say I'm dead to the law, he says I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. My old man is dead on the cross, but I live. He says, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in my body, I don't live it by the law. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Hey, God, you can't have them both. You're going to either be try to be righteous through the law, or you're going to be try to be righteous through Christ. If you're trying to do both, you're frustrating. It's like Christ trying to pull you forward and you trying to pull backward. He's trying to bring you to the new covenant. You pulling back on the old covenant. And so there's a friction there. There's a frustration there. And Paul say, I'm not trying to seek my own righteousness by the law. My righteousness is in Christ. I turn my back on that. I'm dead to that. Are y'all feeling me up in here? All right? I know it's deep theology. But come on, put on your helmet. Put on your head. Put on your helmet. All right? Let's look at chapter 3. Oh, Pastor, we going to another chapter? Yeah. I'm going to do it fast. All right? Laying the foundation. Look what he said in chapter 3. Oh, foolish Galatians. Boy, y'all some fools, boy. Oh, foolish Galatians. That word foolish means to live without thought, to act without thinking. He said, oh, foolish Galatians, who had bewitched you? You remember that movie, Bewitched? Yeah. Huh? What she do with her nose? That's what he mean. He said, who had cast a spell on you? They put some voodoo. They put something in your drink. I don't know what. It went to Sister Diane on you. Something happened. I'm just playing because that has no effect on Christians. Amen. He said, who had bewitched you? You see? Whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth crucified among you. The gospel was portrayed clearly to you. How in the world you were so foolish to leave the gospel and go back to the law for your righteousness and your salvation. He said, that's a foolish thing to do. In verse 2, this only what I learn of you. Paul said, I got one question for you. He said, this only what I learned for you. If I could ask you anything, this would be the only thing I'd like to ask you, Paul said. He says, receive ye the Spirit by the law, by the works of the law? Or did you get the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, by the hearing of faith when you heard the gospel and you believe in Christ? Which one you got the Spirit in? Which one did you receive the Holy Spirit? By you trying to work out the law? Or when you heard the gospel and you believed it in faith. And so I began to ask myself, Omar, were you born again when you heard the law or when you received the gospel? Were you delivered from drugs, drug dealing, alcohol? Now I'm asking you, fornication, prostitution? Did you get out the club? Did you stop gambling? Did you stop playing cards? Did you stop fighting? Did you stop fighting when you heard the law or when you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Which one was it? Which one was it? And that's Paul said. Paul said, I just need to ask you that one thing, because Paul knows which one it is in his life. He was born with the law, and it never changed who he was on the inside, fulfilling the law on the outside, but rotten and dirty and murderous, white tombs full of dead man's bones. He said, listen, did you receive the Holy Ghost through the law or when you believed the gospel? And let me tell you, my answer is when I heard that gospel. When I heard it, when I believe it, that's when my life was changed. And I'm telling you, a lot of those that never got to the gospel yet, they still in their sin. They still bound. And they ain't got the Holy Ghost on board. They not born again. It reminds me of Nicodemus, who was a teacher of the law. Come to Jesus by night. Knew his Torah, knew his Pentateuch, knew all of that. And Jesus looked at that teacher of the law and said, that's all good, Nicodemus, but you must be born again. That's what you need. That's what you need. You need an inside job. And the law can't do that for you. The law can't do that for you. Listen to me. In verse 5, look what he says. He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Paul said, look at all the miracles that happen in your life. Look how the Lord bless you, provide for you, heal you. Look at all those miracles. Did those miracles begin to happen while you were still under the law or when you began to believe and call on that name of Jesus Christ? Hey, God. Paul trying to present a case to him. You see? Come on, I got to move. Look at verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law, and everybody that's trying to live under the law, are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continue not in how many? In all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Paul says that every one of them that's under the law, as many of the works of the law, are under a curse. Paul, how can you say that all of them are under a curse? You know how Paul can say that? Because he knows that they're not continuing in all the things written in the book. And if you don't do all of the law, if you are under the law, you are under the curse of the law. Anybody hear me up in here? Y'all still up out there? This is so important. You know how we talk about the blessings of Abraham? You don't get that living under the law. You know how we as a church moving into a new season of blessing? How we coming out and the head and not the tail, above and not beneath? All right? You don't get that trying to live under the law. You don't get that. Why? Because you can't live under the law. You're going to break at least one of them. And if you break one, you done broke them all. You got to continue in all of it. Look at verse 11. But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And some people think, they say, well, I'm going to get saved by faith, but I'm going to live the law. We not only get saved by faith, we live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. We go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. This is a faith walk. It's such a faith walk that, hallelujah, our whole system of belief is called the faith. Oh, God, I'm working hard up in here. I'm hoping somebody feeling me up in here. All right? Don't go back to the law. Don't go back to it for your justification, for your salvation. You could peruse it, amen, and look at it and glean some wisdom from it so you won't be eating scavengers and hogs and stuff like that. But don't you dare begin to look at one person who got shrimp on their plate. And you up in here eating green bean casserole or whatever without the bacon. And you lift your nose up like you're better than that person. As though that bacon, that lack of bacon gonna get you in glory. And that shrimp on that plate gonna keep them out of it. You done missed the gospel. You done missed the gospel. Now if you want to look at him and say, now brother, you got to know that that particular meat is one of the highest ones in cholesterol. And it holds deadly toxins. And that piece of shrimp on your plate is known as the cockroach of the sea. Because it eats dead things. It's like you eating a cockroach. And you will not be healthy eating stuff like that. You look at that man and you say, you know that pork chop that's on your plate? Amen. You know that that pig has no way of excreting toxins? Do you know that that thing eats slop all day and will actually eat its own excrement? Do you know that that's what that is? It's a bottom dweller. It's a trash eater. And if you want to just open up my trash can on trash day and eat out of it, that's the same way like you eating that pork chop. You understand what I'm saying? And every form of disease is in it. And that's why you got high blood pressure. That's why your cholesterol messed up. That's why you can't pay attention in school, amen. Because you're eating bottom dwellers and dead things. And you are what you eat. So if you eat the bottom, you're going to stay at the bottom. Now, I could tell you not to eat it. You know what I'm saying? But I ain't got to go back to the law to do it. You with me so far? I ain't gotta pervert the gospel for you not to do it. I just gotta show you why. Listen to me. This is gonna get deep. The servant don't know what his master doing. That's what Jesus. He said, but I'm not calling you servants no more. He said, I'm calling you friends. And not only friends, he took that to another level. Because he said, when the fullness of time had come, he gave his son who was born under the law, amen, to redeem us from the law. We're going to talk about that next time, but I just can't hold it. And the reason is that we might receive the adoption. I was a servant, now I'm a friend. Now I'm a son and a daughter, all right? Old covenant servant. Now, the servant don't know what his master do. Don't know why. The servant, oh, God, I got to get the servant is just told what to do. Go pick that up. Go clean that. He's not told why to do it. But a son? Son, clean your room, son. Why? You can't get grown and old and leave your house like this. What if some people come? What if company come? We began to tell our sons and our family not just to do something, but we tell them the why. Hey! The old covenant dealt with you like a servant. Don't do it. The new covenant deal with you like a son. Don't do it, and this is why. Come on, man, I'm trying to. Almost done, yo. All right, look. Look at verse 12. We just gonna wrap up verse chapter 3 right quick. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live by them. They're mutually exclusive, meaning you can't have the law and faith. You're either going to be in a system of works where I'm working to do things to get into heaven, or I'm believing my way into heaven. Which one are you in tonight? Are you in the work your way into heaven? Are you in the work your way to keep your salvation even? Because that's how the new church is doing. Or are you in it to believe my way in? Huh? I want to hear you. Which one? Are you in the believe your way in? All right. They're mutually exclusive. Look at 13. Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And this is so important. This is how the Hebrews get back into the blessings of Abraham. As long as we're under the law, we're under the curse. And we're going to stay in slavery, stay, hallelujah, in the ghettos, in the hoods, stay the byword of all the nations. We're going to stay like that. Why? Because if you don't do the law, you're under the curse of the law. The way to escape the curse is Christ. Because when we get Christ, when we get Messiah, when we get Yeshua, he becomes a curse for us. All right? The curse that belongs to us is placed upon him. Why? Verse 14. That the blessings of Abraham might come upon us. Now, here's the deal. The blessings of Abraham not only come upon us when we believe in Christ, but the Gentiles, who not even the seed of Abraham, by them believing in Christ, they get the blessings of Abraham too. Hey! Boy, this is awesome. This is awesome. Come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. And then he puts us in all in global, the Hebrews and the Gentiles, that we all might receive the promise of what? Of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. How? Through the law? No, through faith. You see? Let's wrap it up. Look at 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? Paul asks, why was the law given? What serveth the law? What was the law there for? If it don't save us, what was it given for? What was the commandments and the Levitical law, the Pentateuch, the Old Testament? What was it given for? If it don't save us, you see? Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions. It was given because of sin, he's saying. The law was given to show us our sins. You see, where there is no law, there is no transgression. If there is no law, there's no sin. Meaning that if I don't have no rules in my classroom, then the kids can do what they want, and I can't ever come to judge them. Because I have never put a law. The law was given because of the transgression. It was given to show us how far we are away from God. It was given to show us how exceedingly sinful we are. You know what I'm saying? Listen, I'm going to put it up there. The Bible says in Romans 3:20, listen, remember, for by the law, remember we said that? Is the knowledge of sin. Paul said, I would have never known not to covet had the law said, thou shalt not covet. The only reason we know we sinners is because of the law. Anybody hear me up in here? He had to give the law first before he gave grace. You got to know you're a sinner first. Before you seek a savior. You see the mystery, the depths of the knowledge of God? That's what the law was given for the knowledge of sin, for the transgression. For all sin, John tells us in the epistle, sin is the transgression of the law. The law was never meant to save, but to identify and point out and diagnose sin. But the law had an expiration date. He says, wherefore serveth the law? It was added because of the transgression. But how long would the law be in effect? Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Oh, whenever you see till, that means the law would be the ruling thing. It would be in effect until something would come to pass. And listen, make a long story short, until the seed. Now, when you study Galatians, you understand that seed that Paul is talking about, amen, is Christ. Christ is the seed. And the law would reign and govern and have dominion until Christ would come, to whom the promise was made. Listen, Hebrews 10:1 tells us this. It says, listen, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, but it's not the very image of the things. The law is a shadow. It's a foreshadowing. The law is what we see, but it's not what we're waiting for. It's just the shadow is not the thing. And that's why the author of Hebrews written to the Hebrews, he says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereto perfect. The law is just a shadow. In 10:4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. The law is a shadow. It was never meant to take away our sins. Colossians 2:16, let no man therefore judge you in meat, which you eat, in drink, in respect to a holy day, a new moon, or the Sabbath. Don't let nobody come to you and act like they're better than you because of your meat, because of the Sabbath, because of all those things that's in the law. That's the law. That's the shadow. That's the shadow. That's the shadow. And they're going to try to make themselves, look at you with your pork chop sandwich. Well, I understand. That's not good for you. And from a dietary perspective, you're a fool. All right? But they can't judge you for it. They can't judge you for it. I'm reading the same Bible you reading. Listen. I'm setting a doctrine. Come on now. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, drink, respect to a holy day, new moon, the Sabbath days. Why? Because they are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. All those Sabbath and holy days, Passover, that was just a shadow. I'm not going to go hug the shadow because the body is here. I'm going to hug the body. I ain't going to pay attention to my wife's shadow. Hey, I got something real to hold on to. You with me so far? They holding on to shadows when Christ is here. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. I'm almost done, y'all. Look, just a few more minutes. Y'all all right? When you read the book of Hebrews, it places the whole Old Testament covenant in this thesis of a shadow. And it begins to tell us about the priesthood, the Levites, just a shadow. A shadow of what? A shadow of the real priest that would come. Not a priest after the Levitical order, but a priest after the order of Melchizedek, the real priest, a priest that have an endless life, no beginning of days and no end of years. The real priest, the real prophet priest, and king, they was just a shadow. That whole system, just a shadow. You don't go back to the shadow. The sacrificial system of killing animals and sheep and all that. I better not catch y'all slaying no goats and offering that up in y'all backyard. You ain't doing nothing but barbecuing. Don't do anything for your sins. Why? Because it was a shadow. A shadow of the Lamb of God that would come and take away the sins of the world. It was a foreshadow. The tabernacle. And we get all interested into, oh, build a tabernacle. Shadow. That's why he could tell Moses, Moses, be careful to do it according to the pattern of the tabernacle. Because this thing you're building is just a rudimentary silhouette of a real thing that's in heaven, that's going to come down from heaven and be upon the earth. It all was a shadow. You see? Jesus saw that in the Pharisees. He told them in John 5:39, he said, y'all tripping. He didn't actually say that. He said, but you search the scriptures, and that's including the Torah and all of the laws. You're searching the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But as shadows, they are they which testify and point to me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. They know the law, they know the word, they're holding on to shadows, but they won't come to the one that the shadow points to, which is Yahshua, the Christ. Just a little longer, saints, please, just a little longer. 21, we wrapping up. Is the law then against the promises of God? Paul says, is the law evil? Is it bad? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Paul said, if a law could have saved us, then a law would have done it. But a law couldn't save us because we was just that messed up. We were sinners, rebellious. We so rebellious that we only do things because God said, don't do it. The moment God say that we can, it don't interest us no more. That's how messed up we are. So a law can't save us. Listen, fornication is like that. You can't do that outside of marriage. And what we do? We get married. You can do this in marriage. And what we do? This is how wicked. Boy, y'all bad, yeah, boy. This is how wicked humanity is. A law couldn't save us. We just do the opposite of everything he said. That's why he had to come another way, man. He said, if I don't give them grace, if I don't make it for free, ain't none of them getting in here. Ain't none of them. You understand what I'm saying? All right, come on, look, we almost done. Just a little bit long. I'm going to cut Sunday short for y'all for this. Come on. Romans 8:3 says this. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. Flesh can't please God. It's impossible for the flesh to please God. Flesh is in enmity with God. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. What the law couldn't accomplish, the Son of God accomplished. Now look, we're going to read 23 through 29 real fast, and then we're going to get out of here. We're going to hear son parti. Okay? Amen? All right. 22. But the scripture had concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Scripture say, everybody sinners, so that the promise could be given to Hebrews and Gentiles, all that believe, but it's all through faith. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. Before the opportunity to believe Christ and be saved, we were kept under the law. The law was the dispensation before Christ and faith. It was the testament. We were kept under the law, shut up, locked in until the faith which should afterwards be revealed. The law had us locked up, shut up, until faith came, until this opportunity to believe by faith. 24, wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The law was our schoolmaster, our principal, our teacher, our tutor. The law was our guardian. The law was our babysitter. The law was our schoolmaster, tutor, principal, meaning that the law taught us something, our sin, and it led us to Christ. The law was our babysitter, our guardian. It just washed us until our real parent came. You with me so far? All right. Now, every parent know that when you walk in the house, babysitting over. Babysitting over. I like to see that babysitter come try to grab your child and try to, while you there. Don't touch my child while I'm there. I'm going to take care of my child. Oh, that's just me feel like that? You see? The schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The purpose of the law to teach us what sin is and to lead us, to bring us, to hand us over to Christ, which is the faith. 25. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. You're no longer under the law. You're no longer under the babysitter. You can go that under your own free will because of the wisdom of it, but you're not mandated to. Well, Pastor, are you antinomianism? No. I'm going to show you the law that we follow. I'm not antinomianism, no law. I'm not no law. There's a law for us. But like I said, it's a higher law. You have heard to you know what I'm saying? Love your neighbor. He said, no. Going higher than that. Hey! All right, 26, and this is it, y'all. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ. For as many of you have been baptized in Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew, Greek, bond, free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all what? One in Christ. And soteriology, salvation, and our agreement and our relations to the law, we one. There's no different dispensations in that. No different accountants in that. Or the Hebrews going to do this with the law and the Gentiles going to do. No. It's nothing like that. It's nothing like that. We won. We won. I ask, you know what I'm saying? And the last, some things going to happen in the last days. I explained that already. You know? But it's not a Hebrew way of serving Christ and a Gentile way of serving Christ. We won. You see? And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know if y'all clapping because it was all right or y'all just happy that it's over. I don't know what it is, but I'm happy too. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much, God, for your word and how you thoroughly explain the gospel and our relationship with the law. I thank you that the whole book of Galatians is about this. The whole book of Romans is about this. I give you praise that the whole book of Hebrews is about this. Now, Father, teach us, O King, how to respect the law, how to glean wisdom from the law, but not to go back into the bondage of the law to try to be saved or to try to please you with some self-righteousness. For our righteousness is of Christ. And we obey the law of Christ, the law of the Spirit. Father, I know that there's some in here who don't know you. But this whole message was the gospel. The whole message was just about believing our way in. And I pray, Daddy, that they would come to you by faith. That they would admit they sinners, believe on Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, and confess you as Lord and be saved. In Jesus' mighty name. If you're here and you hear my